as the need arises, to set up a city, an apostolic city, where a sinner can come in and come out an apostle to the nations. And it will happen. We will bring people from all over the world. They will come here to learn about Jesus. You know, if you go to Germany now, Jesus is no longer popular. If you go to Scotland, John Knox's village, Jesus is no longer popular. But Jesus is going to be popular in the Middle Belt. And people will come from all nations to seek him. And so, as our own contribution to the body of Christ in this region, we want to create a heaven for genuine seekers of Jesus to find him and to know his ways and how to walk with his spirit in this time. We are in the mosaic of the apostolic and the prophetic, hooked to heaven consistently and receiving and downloading technology from God as to how to implement his purposes upon the face of the earth. Our scope is the revealed word of God that is captured in scripture. We don't go beyond it, and we don't intend to operate beneath anything that has been revealed therein. We want to be the fullness of that which God, Jesus, paid for and prayed for, to see his kingdom administered in our time, to the end that the devil will be pushed out of sight, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Listen to me, Boko Haram will not survive. By the time we are getting towards the end of this year, that name, people will start forgetting it. People will start forgetting. Hallelujah. Well, since we're in the month of January, I can give you a few tips before I begin to teach about how the year will look like. A few tips. I need you to understand that the covenant that held Nigeria for the past 100 years expired sometime last year. That was the covenant that empowered Islam. That was the covenant that made most of our rulers to come from the Islamic North. That covenant expired sometime this year. Sometime previously. In fact, the proof of the expiration of that covenant was the death of our king, our last king that was upon the throne. I don't want to go into details. The death of that king was a sign of the change, the emergence of an era. A numerous assortment of activities began to open up in the spirit realm on the account of that change. People that were alive in the spirit were pressed to go into God's presence towards the end of the year from October down. Now, what was happening then was a re-covenanting. Last year was not a pulpit ministry year. It was an intercessory ministry year. Because God needed such as will come cut covenant with him by sacrifice. Sacrifice that will be more deeply entrenched than the sacrifices that were captured in the last set of covenants that shaped our reality as a nation. Now, normally when recovenanting seasons take place, the devil gives off a counter attack. And so the belly of the ocean was open as I beheld, and I saw some horses coming out of the ocean. The horses were bigger and faster than normal horses. And I saw how that the horses were running towards the body of Christ to cause havoc. Upon inquiry, I discovered that these horses were actually an expression of death. And it has been determined by the kingdom of darkness that many that be in the body of Christ this year will fall to death. So one of your prayer points this year is that you must proclaim a Passover. A Passover for you and for your family. Many people in the body of Christ will fall to death this year. Now, this is not because we are losing. This is because the devil is trying to stage a counterattack so that it can make us weak and to lose confidence in the recovenanting process that God has initiated. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So when these things were revealed, first of all, I had to ask God for strategy. Because every poison has an antidote. If the devil sets up something, there is an antidote captured within the context of the wisdom of God that is sufficient enough, that has sufficient stature to detonate the advances of the devil. Now, so in the place of prayer and inquiry, the Lord revealed the antidote. He said that if we can advance in a prayer and a fast from the month of January into mid-February, the Passover will be done effectively. That's why the way the fasting is shaped this year is unusual. It's just in line with insight and revelation. Secondly, some demons were dispatched from hell and they were standing across the middle belt. Now, the middle belt is becoming strategic in the plan of God. Just like the West was a strategic melting point for spiritual activities. Most of the people, like our mummies that were part of the SU revival, the 70s, 80s revival, the heat of that revival, yes, there was some of it in different parts of the country, but the heat of it was in the West. There were mass defections from Islam to Christianity, and most of our pastors today were once Muslims before. That is, most of the leading pastors. I can give you a rundown of names. Practicing Muslims, radical Muslims becoming very radical preachers. Highly confrontational preachers. Uncompromising ministers. Now that was as a result of the move of the Spirit of God that had its dense concentration in the West. The greatest show of signs and wonders ever in this country has manifested through that axis. We have had apostles like Babalola. Most of Pa Elton's ministry was in that axis. Now, even though the Yoruba people by culture are extremely fetish people, because of the signs and wonders manifested, Jehovah was so exalted, and the same way they served idols, they pursued Jesus. It was the SU revival that gave birth to the oil boom. According to scripture, when Jesus was born, wise men came from the east bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It is a spiritual revival that leads to an economic revival. That's why all the technocrats in Obasanjo regime, Charles Soludo, Nasiru El-Rufai, Okonjo-Iweala, the best brains, Harvard graduates. In fact, in city management, the course El-Rufai did, he was schooling with the guy that manages London. He beat the guy in the class. But when it came to the real management on ground, in Nigeria, the Nigerian story is that you are going to contend with principalities and powers. Your classroom excellence counts for nothing. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. I know some of you understand what I'm talking about. So what we need is not a technocrat, we need a prophet. A man that can see the city from the realm of the spirit and know what strategic action to take that will detonate the sequence of activities that the devil has generated to bring down the kingdom of God. The shape of Nigeria, if you are sincere. The shape of Christianity has not shaped Nigeria after that revival. What has shaped Nigeria is the occult and corruption. So the current shape of Nigeria was casted upon the nation by the principality called corruption and the principality called the occult. Now, right now, before you go high in the corridors of power, you must belong to one fraternity or the other. That's why the Illuminati found Nigeria to be a very good virgin ground to raise a platform to begin to reach Africa. They have pumped a lot of money into Nigeria, especially in prime cities like Port Harcourt and Lagos, big Calabar and all of that. If you get to Calabar, how many obelisk will you find? I think the last time it was 3. They have removed 1. 2 obelisk. And then you see their lodges and all of that. It's just a cult for the elite. They call themselves the illuminated ones. That by right, they should be one shaping the nations of the direction of the nations of the world. They were able to find a good footnote, a footing in Nigeria because of the premise of occultism that had been established in the land. Now our task is much more than the task that the apostles in the SU revival had. During the SU revival, Nigeria was virgin. So campus ministers like the general overseer of Deeper Life, they were the people that shaped most of what we have today came out of the campus. The campus has always been God's nursery. It's not like that everywhere, but in Nigeria it's like that. The campus has been God's nursery to nurture things that will come into territory and bring deliverance. If you are here and you pass through campus, you didn't have any significant impute in the kingdom of God, don't come and say you can have ministry that will change the world. Let me stop there. The pattern cannot be circumvented. That's how God has chosen to operate in Nigeria. People like Chris Akilome, people like even the great Adeboye himself was elected. It was there God encountered him. Many ministers today were ex-lecturers. Because a campus is God's nursery. That's where he tries out things that he brings into the territory. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now I went through all these routes to explain a few things. The West was that significant because the people of the West opened their heart to the move of God at that time. And so the West was pedestaled, was advanced. The richest state in the nation is Lagos. Lagos is working. Even if Nigeria is shut down, Lagos has its own life. Now, those things don't happen ordinarily. Things like that take place because there's a spiritual premise that occasions it. God has decided to move to the middle belt. Listen to me. When great men, great prophets like Abuba gave their life to Christ, God began to move. Okay, I think I need to show you from the Bible. You know, the apostolic revival started in Jerusalem, but there was a time when God began to move all of his resources to Antioch. Why was he moving his resources to Antioch? Because that which was obtainable in Jerusalem was experiencing some form of corruption. Christianity in its pure state was being mingled with Judaism. Such that elders, I don't want to go into that. Many of those things were taking place. And that was why God had to raise Paul. The significance of the ministry of Paul, even the devil did not know it until many years. It was Paul's ministry that separated Judaism from Christianity and drew the line. That was the significance of his ministry. God began to move his resources to Antioch. That was how men like Paul and Barnabas found themselves in Antioch. And the Bible revealed that the great prophet of the then world, Agabus, also moved, and his chain of prophets that came to Antioch, and a new apostolic base was formed. This apostolic base that was formed was formed by a partnership between teachers and prophets. Why? It was a prayer meeting that these teachers and prophets held that gave birth to a fresh apostolic ministry that was not initiated by Jesus physically. Are you with me? So a different style of apostolic ministry emerged, which was different from the one from headquarters. It is that different apostolic ministry that had an orientation and an emphasis to the Gentiles. So Paul, if you check your Bible, Paul, there were several times that Paul talked about my gospel. He called it his gospel. That gospel was formulated by the encounters he had with God, a gospel to the Gentiles. It was his gospel. In fact, even if we go to heaven today and you meet with Paul, Paul will still tell you the elements of, he will still call it his gospel. Now, so the next phase of the revival began with people from Antioch. That was where God's new resource base was. And that revival broke out from that place. In fact, at first, there was controversy between the apostles in Jerusalem and the apostles that began their ministry in Antioch. It took many years before they reconciled and gave their hand of fellowship. But the power that moved Paul was a power that was not known in that time. And the depth of revelation with which he moved was a depth of revelation that was not common. That's the same kind of thing that is about to happen. The chief apostles were members of the SU revival experience. Churches were built out of it. Ministries came out of it. But there is a new regrouping that God is doing in the axis of the Middle Belt to raise up apostolic centers, to raise up high commissioners, people that will raise platforms of spirit embassies where the concentration of the government of God will raise people that are in alignment with the throne in the third heavens. So that the corrupted plan of God that was corrupted in previous moves can find expression in all purity within this zone. And I saw the hand of God is on the campuses right now. It's so intense. The hand of God is among the young people right now. If you are a young person and you have not yet started taking responsibility for something that is bigger than you, you have missed the grace of this hour. So there's a regrouping. And the devil is aware of it. And because of that, he has dispatched some demons along that axis that he will kill what wants to happen by causing communal clashes to be the order of the day in the layout of the Middle Belt. Second point. Another prayer point that we need to hold so intensely is to fight against the spirit of destruction that wants to take effect in the region of the Middle Belt. There's something fresh breaking forth in the body of Christ, but it's not coming from the West. I need you to understand that. It's not coming from the West. The West will receive it, and then the West will become more responsible. Because if you know the kind of money that the church in the West has, if we were responsible, that money would have been used to fund the gospel in the North where there's no money. That was what Paul did. He robbed some churches to advance some others. But because we are not a single unit, we are blocks of units that are given to not directly to kingdom bodies, but to the building of empires. So we cannot see that the church of God is impoverished in the Middle Belt. The church of God is impoverished in the North. There was no strategy, nothing done by the corporate church to see to it that the places where Boko Haram penetrated, bombed churches, killed people, no supplies, nothing was ever done because we are trying to build empires instead of building the kingdom of God. There's a new philosophy that is rising in among the people of God. A new sense of responsibility that is rising among the young people. It's an apostolic spirit. God is opening their eyes to see kingdom things, to carry kingdom responsibility. He's repositioning them because what God will begin to do now, he will start it with the young people. So your son can be 26 years old, but something can be happening in his life. Something that in all your years of being a Christian, you may not have seen it quite like that. It is a move of God that if you are wise, you will align with what is happening through their lives so that you can connect with the stream. And the Lord give you understanding. I will not say more than that. So it's a new apostolic flavor that is breaking out that doesn't have the reproach of that which existed before. It's a new thing. And so the devil has sensed it and the devil wants to fight it. And because of that, he has a great hatred for the Middle Belt. And he began to cultivate this some time ago. Now we are going to stand as the church people that are wise in righteous things to contend with the enemy. If you are still here, say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now there's going to be turbulence in the government. The reason for the turbulence is a false turbulence. A false turbulence. Let me tell you something. Now, people that are trained, apostles that are trained, some of us in our time are not going to be apostles that will need a pulpit to dispatch their ministry. Some apostles that will rise from among us will have a calling into politics. Some of them will find expression in the economic war front. And they will fight and contend with principalities in that corridor. So that some things can be released. And so that the church of God can come to a different level. Men, a new breed without greed. A radical opposition against unrighteousness. A people that fear God and hate sin. And all of that technology is brewing side by side what the devil is trying to do. But you see, in the next 3 years, what God is building will become more distinct. That's why we give the clarion call, so that if you are outside of that river, you can jump into it one more time. Because God will not stop. It will only increase in intensity, increase in power. Many young people will be swept from different places. It's a revival that will be triggered by young people and women. Young people and women. Young people and women. And there are fresh visitations coming from heaven right now. Visitations, women are coming into some things. And people are beginning to rediscover the ministry of intercession, the prophetic dimensions, how to war over territories, how thrones fight, how princes war. They are beginning to learn the language of the kingdom of heaven and how to interact and the courtesies that are required at court so that they can function from the measures of the throne of God. Those things and teachings and dimensions are beginning to awake, and there's an apostolic spirit, a Davidic orientation that is coming into the mainstream church so that the dominating dimension of kingdom advance can yet be established. Hallelujah. The patriarchal stance of our first fathers will be restored, and the witness of the original apostles will once again be put upon the hearts of men. In that day, the great divide will be obvious. People that serve God and people that serve themselves and serve their empires, that great divide will become quite obvious. Hallelujah. Fourthly, this is a year that the Holy Ghost will make himself available. Some of you are already experiencing it. Some of you that are diligent in praying and fasting, there's an opening. There is an opening. That's what happens when portals over localities begin to break open. Portals. Portals. So there are many portals. If you stay in the place of prayer this year long enough, 3 months, you can have a portal open in your room. Such that if somebody is sick, you may not need to pray for the person. Just bring the person to die your room. Meanwhile, teaching and preaching must go beyond the level it has reached now in the body of Christ. There must be education and inoculation. All we know is that Jesus is a money doubler and is such a God that gives men false hope. That's what we have been running with. But there's something deeper. In fact, that is not even Jesus in the first place. The true Jesus will be revealed. The Quran speaks about Jesus, not the real one anyway. One Jesus, one type of Jesus. The Grail Message Bible speaks about one, it's a type, it's not Jesus. Because the Bible says that no one knoweth the Son, except unto him that the Father has revealed him. Jesus is a personality that can only be known by revelation. You may sleep with him and wake up and slap him and not know it was Jesus. The fact that you have physical contact, you enter the same Okada. You can't know him by flesh and blood. And that's why some people walk with him on the way to Emmaus all night. He opened the scriptures, their heart burned, but they didn't know. Do not think that it's an advantage for you to have been there in the time of the apostles. Maybe you wouldn't have known Jesus. Everyone that knew him by revelation. It's not an advantage for you. He said, blessed are they that have never seen but yet believe. The Spirit of God is coming like a dove in his gentility, in his reality. He wants to interface with men so that he can make them acquainted with his realm, with his dimension, with his oppression, with his ministry. The portals are opening. The portals are opening. The last 6 months of the year will be better than the first 6 months of the year. This year will determine the destiny of Nigeria in the next 100 years. This year. Now, based on these things that we have peeped into in the presence of God, we have also seen the movements of the kingdom of darkness. Towards the end of last year, the devil began to shoot some fake doctrines into the body of Christ. Did you notice that? Why do you think he was doing that? He did that deliberately so that he can get us to a point where we don't even know who we believe or what we believe. Hence, there is a need for a return to biblical truth, so that we can build basic discernment by interfacing with the scriptures. That's why, throughout the course of this year, what we are trying to discover is the template of apostolic Christianity. The more we acquaint ourselves with the ways of the Lord, the more you will see that error will die a natural death. What is about to come is a storm, an avalanche. And it's bigger than you and me. Now, that's my recap. That's just a summary of things that will be to prepare your heart for the season. Turn your Bible with me to Luke chapter 1 as we begin our journey. We'll still continue from where we stopped yesterday. Hallelujah. The first point on the path of spiritual progress is the knowing of revelation. The second point that we studied yesterday is walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Walking by the Spirit requires a rigor. We will need to consistently shut down the voices that speak in us. The voices that are contrary to the voice of the Holy Spirit, so that we can have access to the voice of the Holy Spirit expressly. Paul said, I'm engaged in a warfare with myself. For I beat my body, I put it in subjection. I intend to enthrone spirit life. I intend to enthrone spirit philosophy. So that my life will be an offshoot of the spirit dimension. It will derive from the spirit realm. And he did something consciously and deliberately to ensure that that was the case. For the Bible says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And you are going to make some effort to ensure that your life is not doesn't evolve after the flesh. For the Bible reveals that if we sow into the flesh, we'll die. If we sow into the flesh, we will experience separation from God. The deposit and investment of the Spirit of God in our spirit will not be the resources from whence our life will play out. Our life will play out based on the strength of our mind and the capacity of our humanity. And that is a disadvantaged place to be. Hallelujah. Now, in proceeding in that wise, I would like us to look upon Luke chapter 1. We'll do Bible study for 40 minutes and then we'll pray for 20 minutes. Luke chapter 1, verse 76. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. It's prophetic. After the prophecies were spoken on the day that John the Baptist was named, his destiny was revealed. The script upon which his life and times was articulated was downloaded by the instrumentality of the gift of prophecy. His father said, "And thou, child, you shall be called the prophet of the highest, because you shall go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people." His destiny was itemized, was outlined by prophecy. Now, after the prophetic service that took place, which was supposed to be his naming ceremony, it was a naming ceremony that was hijacked by the Holy Ghost. People were expecting to see God in the temple, but God appeared in the naming ceremony. God was not in the temple, but God showed up when a child was being named. Because that child was going to be a harbinger of things that were yet to come. And prophecy had to announce him. It said, "You will give knowledge of salvation unto the people of God by the remission of their sins." It said, "You will give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and you direct their feet unto the path of peace." Thou child, this is your destiny. It's only a prophet that can look at a child and read out the destiny even when the child is in the womb. It's only a prophet that can attend a naming ceremony and articulate exactly what this child will become. In order for the parents to be fully equipped with the understanding of what that child was destined to be, there had to be a clear-cut insight into the essence and the significance of that life. And when the proclamations went forth, many years later, verse 80, which is my emphasis, this happened. This is no longer the prophetic service. This is the administration of the prophecy. If you are still here, say amen. And the child grew and worked strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. Now, I was privileged to be in Israel last year. Then I saw, we went somewhere, they showed us the sect that John the Baptist was part of. John the Baptist was part of a religious sect. You know, this going to the desert. I saw the meaning of it. He was part of a religious sect that were devoted to studying the Torah and also to replicate it and to live by a secret code in order to preserve the purity of that which was captured in the Torah. In order for you to be initiated into that sect, you had to be tutored for 2 years. And according to the scrolls we met there, they say John the Baptist fulfilled all the time of tutelage. 2 days to his initiation, he was not in the company of people that were initiated. That was when the voice of God came to the wilderness and exempted him from the process.
and a prophetic ministry began after that point. Hallelujah. We saw some jars where they wrote the Torah and hid it, so that when the word of God becomes scarce, they will be able to trace it and read it there. John the Baptist, the Bible says, he was in the desert until the short day of his showing forth unto Israel. Now, this is my emphasis. The Bible says what? The child grew and what? He was strong in spirit. Now, I want you to take note of the orientation of his growth pattern. Because if the Bible had said that he was strong in his soul, it means that a different line of development was in view. Oh my, you're not with me. He grew and did what? He was strong. Meanwhile, I told you that in order for us to walk according to the Spirit, you will need to shut down the voices that speak in your life. John the Baptist sustained that orientation even as a child. Oh, you are not with me. You see, the truth of the matter is this. I've said it. That the first law of the Spirit is whosoever you yield yourself as a servant to obey, the servant of him you shall become. If you give yourself to cigarette, a time will come when your own smoking will be spiritual. A demon will come and support your cause and take it to a level that is beyond the books. You are not here. A young man could not attend taekwondo class, so the lecturer now gave him the books to go and read. So he gave himself to it. A time came, he finished all the things in the book, and before he knew it, he began to do things that were not in the book. He went beyond the book, because those books were windows to the spirit dimensions. But as he was doing that, he didn't know he was coming into alignment with some forces and with some powers, the yoga meditation. The soul became bogus, and before he knew it, he went beyond those books. The books were entry points, they were window points for him to access realms and access dimensions, but he was not conscious of it. Somebody says, my vision is to sleep with women. It will become spiritual soon. That's what happens when a man feels that the only kind of women he can sleep with must be pregnant. You know, that one has gone beyond. Just sin. This is spiritual. Why? Because if you yield yourself as a servant to something, it will be ensured. Spirits in that light will now find compatibility with you such that they will guarantee that you will be a servant of such forever. You get that? Yeah, help me preach to your neighbor. You will serve something in this life. You will serve something. That's why the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know the meaning of that? It means you can never go out of this world the same way you came. You must be forged into something. You must be forged into something. You must become something. You must take a form, a mold. You must serve something. And so John the Baptist, at a tender age, had already achieved what we call spiritual alignment. Spiritual alignment is the orientation that makes for God's idea of man. That orientation is that the soul submits to the spirit and the body submits to the soul. That's the orientation. Meanwhile, there can be other orientations. There can be an orientation of body, soul, spirit, where the greatest consciousness that you sustain is in your body. So if you feel like sleeping with a woman, that is your mission. Your money goes into it, your energy, your brain work, your engineering, your Greek that you read, goes into fulfilling that particular vision, because the strongest consciousness you sustain or purpose is that which your body gives you. We were in a public transport traveling one day, and a young man at the back of the bus said, he shouted, that I need a woman now. Now, there is nothing wrong with a man. It's just that he has a different orientation. His own template is flesh, his body, soul, and in fact, spirit as may not be visible. At the back, a cry. And when a woman by his side tapped him and said, are you sure of this? So, you know, that's a good time to plead the blood of Jesus and to sanitize the atmosphere. The blood. Because if you don't plead the blood, the spirit of lust will come into that car right there. That his cry was a prayer. You don't know. It will bring a spirit. So you need to sanitize, sanctify the blood. The Lord give you understanding. The Bible says, and the child grew and was strong in spirit. He was able to sustain the accurate orientation as a child. He gave preeminence to spirit life. He was into that warfare that Paul spoke about, putting his body in subjection so that he will become a creature whose destiny will spill out of his spirit alignment. The child grew and did what? He was strong in spirit. Now, if that's not the orientation you have, then you are in trouble. Number two, Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And when they have performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. This is the testimony of Jesus now. And the child grew and was strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now, this was the story of Jesus. And even for Jesus, he had to stick with the orientation. Oh, you don't understand. You see, your destiny can only be fulfilled in the spirit, for God's sake. The ink that wrote your destiny is spirit. And it's only from the standpoint of your spirit that that destiny can come from. It cannot come from your soul. It cannot come from your body. So there was a dealing, an orientation that these great, 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 great functionaries in the course of the kingdom of God had to sustain in order for their destinies to come out. The Bible speaking concerning Jesus said, the child grew and was strong in spirit, and the wisdom of God was upon him, and the grace of God was upon him. So as his spirit began to receive ventilation, his spirit grew faster than his intellect. His spirit grew faster than his body. Before you knew it, he was full of wisdom. They saw that perfume of wisdom, that aroma of grace was flowing from his life. He was operating from a realm which was not the realm of the mind. There was wisdom at work in his life. It was because his orientation was accurate. My business, my challenge this evening is, what orientation have you sustained? Because Jesus said that a house that is divided against itself shall not stand. That is to say that if your spirit is not in charge and your soul is in charge, it means that, you see, this, your spirit cannot agree with your soul. But it's possible for your soul to agree with your spirit. Now, so if you are a man of the soul, your spirit will be at par. And it means your house is divided against itself. The philosophy you are trying to sustain from that orientation shall not stand. And so these children were able to actually achieve the accurate orientation as children. So even as children, you could see wisdom at work. You could see something supernatural oozing out as a child. I think I need to give you an example. You can't feel what I'm saying. You can't feel it. Verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. And the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing. When he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In Hebrew culture, the responsibility of teaching a child and grooming him in the ways of the Lord was not the pastor's work. It was the responsibility of the father in any household to raise every child in the fear of God. In Hebrew culture, you are not allowed to give your daughter to a young man that has not been declared a man by the priest. In order for you to be declared a man, you are going to cram the Torah. And in one of the days of the feast, you'll be brought from your village. You will line up. And you are going to have an audience with the doctors of the law, the professors of the law of Moses. After you have crammed it and you have recited it word to word, then questions will be asked randomly from any of the Mosaic books. You will be requested to give answers, provide answers to the questions. And when you have sufficiently passed, you will be declared a man. From that day, no woman is permitted to look upon your nakedness, not even your mother. Jesus became a man at 12. Now, wait. You are not with me. Calm down. When his own time came, the Bible revealed... Okay, come. Come with me. Don't miss it. Verse 46. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed, astonished at his understanding and answers. And get it? The Bible says that he was hearing the doctors of the law and he was asking them questions. Now, the Bible reveals that all that heard him were amazed at what? His understanding and answers. The Bible never revealed that the doctors of the law answered the questions he asked. So he asked them questions they could not answer. And then he said, I just asked that question just to find out if you are current with this part of the script. Because this part of the script sustains this position. And he answered the same questions he asked them. And people came there and were astonished as it what? His understanding and his answer. That is at the age of 12. Because he grew in the right orientation, at the age of 12 he was a marvel. Now notice that the Bible revealed that wisdom and grace was expressional in his life, even at a tender age. Because the orientation was accurate. I found out there's a way to raise children. It's easier to put them in the way like that when they are young. A child should begin to fast from the age of 7. He should know how to seek God and get his voice at the age of 12. Some of us, if we were put in the way early enough, would have been better than what we are today. But they are allowed, training today is sending your child to school. He goes and learns the Antichrist systems. And when he's arrested by Jesus, he's trying to unlearn it until he becomes 35 and there's white strands of hair. Say hallelujah. He's already behind shadow. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. The Bible revealed that Jesus was full of wisdom and grace. Now, so he was not speaking from the standpoint of human wisdom. What he did there was that he aligned with the pool of God's Spirit. You know, the Bible says that when you are brought before the doctors of the law, you are brought before the Sanhedrin. He said, do not premeditate what to say. Because in that moment, he shall be giving you what to say. The spirit of your father will speak through you. Jesus has already known how to tap into the wisdom of the spirit of his father. And what he spoke was not the things he studied. What he spoke oozed out of the belly of God. And that's why humanity could not fathom it. It was broader. It was deeper. It was more accurate. It was sharper. He was speaking, giving voice to the author of the philosophy himself.
This was 12 years old. So can you imagine how this personality will look like at 30?
Walking in the spirit. That's the difference between a champion and a charlatan. Walking in the spirit. That's the difference between a man that will take a territory and a man that principalities will humble. Walking in the spirit. Understanding the spirit life, aligning with it, walking in it and growing that way with that perspective, with that orientation. Walking in the spirit.
That means if Jesus wanted to marry, he was eligible at the age of 12. Just because of accurate alignment. We will go first and read chemistry. You are carrying lab coat, test tube, burette.
And you cannot seek the face of God and get the word of the Lord. You don't know how to do that. A spirit life is fallow, is foreign to you. When somebody prophesies, you look at it, hey. You think it's a high thing of the spirit. It's not a high thing, it's a normal thing in spirit life to receive from the lips of the Lord and to give voice to it. And so we are behind schedule because we have sustained an orientation that is not consistent with the approved pattern. And now some people already, their stomach has already been aligned with beings, so that when you recommend fasting, it's as if you want to put them into the dungeon. Spirit life and aligning with spirit life is something that is alien because the orientation has not been put in place. After reading chemistry all those years, I've not had to use what I read for all those years till today. That is not the education you need. We don't resist it anyway. If you have money to send them to school, they will not be going there to learn what they will live with. They already have a life in God. And that school will be a mission field for them to infect and affect people with the virus of the spirit that they are carrying. Walking in the spirit. We must understand the orientation. The Bible says, and the child grew and what? He waxed strong in spirit. Now, if you were supposed to preach today and I came here and I said, no, you will not preach again. You preach. If you are not a man that has the alignment of spirit, you will be angry. It means your emotion is more bogus than your spirit life. That is if I am accurate. If I am accurate and I come and say, no, you go. If you feel anything other than fine, it means there is an aspect of you, you gave agric food. That kind of food that makes agric chicken fat. But you see, have you seen the local chicken in the village? That one is stronger than the agric. The bone, you can't crack it. Hey, mama, salete kabayam. Oko se nazaila. So in ministry today, we are careful to say what God is saying, because we have people that are not matured enough that can carry it. Walking in the spirit, the orientation is not correct. We talk to people about prosperity, how God can increase you, God can save you, God is coming. A cherubim escaped out of heaven. He had a bag of gold. He was looking for your address to put something on your doorpost. Something is about to happen. See, the fact that you are talking doesn't mean you are preaching. Jesus doesn't give false hope because he has power. Walking in the spirit. At the age of 12, he confounds the doctors of the law. Brings a perspective that human mind cannot comprehend. something deeper than his lecturers had to teach him. That's what David meant when he said, I have understanding much more than my teachers. I'm 10 times better. I'm operating from a frequency, a dimension, a depth that is deeper than that of my teachers. I come from a realm. I come from a country. I speak for a king. I speak for a nation. I walk by the Spirit. The Bible said the child grew and was strong in spirit. The burden with the church of our day is carnality. We have learned how to preach carnal people happy. Meanwhile, the orientation had never changed. You will grow and work strong in spirit. Anything we need to do to give you that orientation, we have to do it. If you need to fast, you must do it. If you need to pay for 10 hours, you must do it. If you need to pack from your house and take hostel room here for 6 months to gain alignment, is part of your progress path. You must know that you must be aligned in spirit. He was in the wilderness until the day he left the comfort of his house, because when he saw that house, it was not compatible with the alignment pattern. The wilderness became Nikon luxury. The wilderness became, you don't understand it. Le Meridian. That's what the wilderness. If I buy water bed, if you visit me, I will give you. But I will not sleep on it. It will massage your back. And when you wake up, you stretch, you say, I feel alive. But you are alive with the flesh. Have you realized that we don't like what the Holy Ghost likes? We don't like what he likes. His words are offensive to us. You meditate over his words for 25 days before you consider obeying it. Because it's not natural for you to function that way. It's more natural for you to be carnal, fleshly. Something is wrong. So prophets live and die without prophesying. Teachers live and die without opening the scroll. Churches are formulated that suppress the callings of men, not knowing that callings are eternal. In eternity, if you were called to be a prophet, in heaven you will still be a prophet. The systems do not like spirit life, because the pastor doesn't want the member to know how to hear God. He believes it will be more difficult to manage him when he hears God. Meanwhile, the apostolic church was strong because everyone in their company was strong as David. Walking in the spirit, he grew and was strong. I don't know the name of your family, but that is immaterial. If you can stand in alignment, there is a call on that family. You will begin to fulfill it. Now, it's not only family curses that exist. There are family blessings and callings. The Bible said the sons of Isaac, there were men that understood the times and knew what Israel ought to do. It was a family grace. Most of us have not tapped into the family grace yet, because the alignment pattern is faulty. He grew and was strong. I don't know, your ancestors might be Muslims and you came into the kingdom. There is a voice of God that was spoken over that clan. May your heart be heavy enough to bear the burden of the anointing of that clan. The Bible says he was strong in spirit. Just before someone says nothing good can come out of Nazareth, just before they conclude the segment and say your family cannot amount to anything, let them hold on. There's one learning the way of the Spirit already. There's one aligning already. Something is about to break forth. The devil cannot hold him bound. The child grew and was strong in spirit. Somebody said to hell with the devil. Oh my God. Oh my God. It doesn't matter how long you have been moving. He that is. God calls you. He said, come to me. come to me. Wisdom is crying in the streets. He's calling to the simple ones. He said, come and learn of my ways, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord, and I will open your understanding and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. In the spirit.
There won't have been a benching in the house if a man never decided to walk in the spirit. There wouldn't have been Kenneth Hagin if a man never decided to walk in the spirit. He touched lives among the whites. He touched lives among the blacks. His book is a portals, gates into spirit dimensions. People had picked his books and turned out prophets. They picked his books, turned out apostles. Those men were mercenaries from heaven, but they were only able to embrace their destiny because they are aligned in the spirit. I will not be small. I cannot be short. I will not be suppressed. God has spoken a word over my life. He has declared a word over my destiny. I shall not die. I will live to testify of the works of God in the land of the living. The silence has been for too long. Now we want to hear the voice of the prophets. Let the prophecy come. Let the mind of God be revealed. We need men that will return from the desert with the voice of God. You will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. You will walk and will not faint. God has a word for you. He has a destiny for you. You cannot accept what the devil is throwing at you. There is something stronger, something better, something deeper, something higher. I believe in power. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Hello, Baba Nakailama. Say hello, Baba Nakailama. Yeah.
Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.
There are two twin chapters in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 60, Isaiah chapter 61. Whereas Isaiah chapter 60 speaks about the move of the word. When the word of God begins to move. The word of God can be living, it can be active. The word of God can be sent like a missionary. For the Bible says that he sent his word, and his word healed them, and his word delivered them from their destruction. The word of God can be alive, can be sent, can be dispatched, can be living, can be active, can have the ability to shed light. For the Bible reveals that the entrance of his word, it giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. He has the capacity through the Spirit to access your soul and to enlarge itself like cancer. The word of God, the word of God. But in Isaiah chapter 61, it speaks of the move of the Spirit. So whereas Isaiah chapter 60 speaks of the move of the word of God, Isaiah 61 speaks of the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit is the result, is that which finds expression in the life of any man that follows the accurate protocol and orientation. If you work strong in spirit, and that's your story, you will fulfill the move of the Spirit. This is the I don't have time today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. There shall be the old waste places. They shall raise up former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many, many generations. During the time of the move of the Spirit, the Bible says that there that be from among thee, they shall rebuild the old waste places. I know that your family has been plundered because of the circle of witchcraft and sorcery. The destinies of men have been compromised. Anyone that wants to come into lamplight is cut down, and says desolation upon desolation. But the Bible says the desolation continues until the time where the move of the Spirit arises in the life of a man. When that time comes, the end of desolation comes. For the Bible says that there that be of thee, they shall rebuild the old waste places. The days of the builders and the rebuilders are upon us. Doesn't matter your story, your history, the things that the devil worked in your environment, your domain. But in the day when spirit-led men come, the desolations shall be raised. The desolations that have existed for generations shall be raised. I am tired of seeing the works of darkness. And that's why every day I curse Boko Haram. I curse them. Can you arise and contend with the desolation in your family? This is not our destiny. Maybe they said you will live only up to 54 years. And that has been the embargo. He said, there that be of thee. That we rewrite the story. That we reinvent the destiny. That we reinscribe it. That we rebrand it. Contend with that desolation. Because the day of the Spirit has come. Wise men travel from the east. I shall not die, but I will live to testify of the works of God
in the land of the living. It doesn't matter how many people die. It doesn't matter how many people were cut off. But I shall not die. You want to speak to the foundation stones of your family. Let the desolations rise. Awake, awake. Oh, hand of God. Awake like in the ancient time. Awake like in the ancient day. Silent Mamara de Baskande Babo. A people arise from across the land. A people and a song, such as there has never been the likeness. We put an end to untimely death. We put an end to family poverty. Awake, awake. Oh, hand of God. We put an end to the shackles of reproach, and we proclaim the day of the Lord, this acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. Behold, I make all things new. Sabola mina sahila babo. Sahiles kesa mina brata babala. Eko mina sahila kore mamasile. Behold, I make all things new. Say la 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 bola bala nemo. Si mama 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 mama. Yeah da. Proclaim a new day. This year will be different for you. La 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 la
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,